Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. During the first part of the broadcast today, we were talking about weddings. And we kind of made the connection there, or maybe even have said it a little bit in our conversation, the idea about redeeming weddings. And you hear that phrase a lot, not specifically redeeming weddings, but the idea of redeeming different areas of our lives, of our culture, of our society today. And we're often talking about this idea of redeeming things. You know, the concept is buying them back and bringing them back. Oftentimes we're thinking about bringing them back to their gospel roots and so forth. Well, I thought that maybe the message that I preached this past Lord's Day on Sunday morning would be of interest then to the listening audience today, where we were specifically looking at that concept of redemption. We've been doing a study in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're now down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. And so in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, it says this: through faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That's the statement, just the one verse there out of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Now, Moses is mentioned five times in Hebrews chapter 11, and more times than any other figure that's mentioned in what some people refer to as the Hall of Faith and so forth. Really, the Hebrews chapter 11 is merely expounding what the apostle had written in Hebrews chapter 10. Towards the close of the chapter, he had said that the just shall live by faith. And so the point that the apostle was making was the concept of living by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is then a number of examples of people who throughout the Old Testament scripture lived by faith. And so a number of aspects of individuals living by faith is what we find in Hebrews chapter 11. We're in that section then speaking with Moses. We saw Moses at the beginning stages of his life when he was first born. We looked at the faith of his parents in hiding Moses, the preparation of Moses, if you will. And then we looked at a couple of verses dealing with the idea of the separation of Moses, where Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and so forth, and chose rather to the affliction, to be associated with the affliction of God's people. So we looked at the separation of Moses. And then in this particular verse, we're looking at the idea of the consecration of Moses. Moses, actually, his faith in Christ, his leaning upon Christ, and Christ as his Redeemer is specifically what is being highlighted in this particular passage of Scripture. And so that's what we were talking about this past Lord's Day, and we were talking about the idea of redemption as it is given to us in the Scriptures related to the Passover. This verse is telling us that Moses, by faith, kept the Passover. Now, we're not left to speculate with this verse as to what is meant by the faith of Moses in the Passover, because the New Testament Scripture actually provides for us an inspired commentary as to what was being pictured there in the Passover. The Apostle Paul, who I believe is the writer of the book of Hebrews as well, it's not specifically told to us, but my opinion is that the Apostle Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews. And so the Apostle Paul, then writing to the Corinthians, says this in Corinthians, he says, Christ is our Passover. So what we saw by faith then is that Moses was looking forward by faith to Christ, meaning that the emphasis is not on the animals that were there. He isn't looking at the animal sacrifice and trusting in the animal sacrifice to pay the price for their sins. and in this case, to redeem them so that they don't come under the curse that is there, even the death that is promised to those that don't have the blood sprinkled over the doorposts of their house. But he is trusting in Christ. He's trusting in what, not the symbol itself, but what the symbol signified. That's what he's looking at. He's looking beyond the animal sacrifice to the sacrifice of Christ. What we really see then in this passage is we see the redemption accomplished and applied in this passage. Redemption accomplished and applied. Now, the Passover, when we read all the details of it, the historical context of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28 is found in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, the specific instructions concerning the Passover sacrifice are given to us. It says this in Exodus chapter 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month you shall take, they shall take of them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." And then it goes on in that passage, in verse 5, it says, "And the lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And you shall take it from out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And you shall take of the blood, and you shall strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper doorposts of your house, wherein you shall eat it. And you shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall you eat of it. Eat it not raw, nor sodden with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with all the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing remain until the morning, and that which remaineth until the morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, and shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be unto you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast and an ordinance forever." So there's the historical context of what we find in the in this text in Hebrews chapter 11. The text gives us even more specifically that not just was Moses looking to Christ, but it tells us specifically what he was looking to Christ, specific aspect of Christ that he was focusing upon. You notice in the mention of the Passover, it breaks it up into two pieces in our text. It speaks about the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Both parts are mentioned. The Passover itself refers to the lamb itself, and the sprinkling of the blood refers to the application of the sacrificial death of that lamb. So Moses was looking to two things. In particular, when he was looking by faith to Christ, he was looking to the person of Christ, and he was looking to the work of Christ. The person of Christ is spoken of in this text as being one who is morally spotless, the morally spotless Son of God, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, as he was spoken about in the opening first few statements of the gospel record in the gospel of John, where he sees Christ coming upon the scene, and then he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." This is what was being pictured in the symbol, in the lamb itself, the animal sacrifice. He was to be without spot or blemish. It was picturing in the reality the Lord Jesus Christ, in the substance of what was being pictured there. He was picturing the morally spotless Son of God. The second part then was the shed blood of the sacrifice that was then applied to the doorpost. It spoke about the application of the benefits and the blessings associated with the atoning work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's what's pictured here in Exodus chapter 12. That's what's pictured then and referred to by the apostle in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28. Now, when you think about the book of Exodus as a whole, the word that should come to your mind is the idea of deliverance. That's what the whole passage is about, right? I mean, later on in the book of Exodus, a lot of it is dealing with the tabernacle and a lot of the worshiping of God in the tabernacle. But the worship of God there in the tabernacle was actually what was being referred to in the Exodus, in the deliverance. You may remember that in the very beginning, the command to Pharaoh was, "Let my people go, that they may worship me." And so it's in keeping, that portion of Exodus is in keeping with the message as well. Deliverance from what they were in bondage to and so forth, and delivered so that they could then go on to worship and serve the Lord. And so when we think about deliverance, the theological topic for that, under which deliverance is a part of, is a subpoint, is the word redemption. That's the idea, the theological idea is redemption. So this verse is talking about redemption, and I wanted then to couch what is being spoken about redemption in this section. I wanted to use redemption in each one of the headings. First of all, the children of God are redeemed from the wrath of God. We see that very clearly in this picture. Notice in the text that I read at the beginning from Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Through faith he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Well, who is that? Who is the destroyer that is spoken about there? That is none other than God himself. You know, this is the great question. You ask people, they say that they're saved. You ask and say, well, what are you saved from? Well, ultimately, the answer to that question, the proper theological answer to that question is, we are ultimately saved from God himself. And more properly, we should say, we are saved from the wrath of God. And that's exactly what we see in this picture here. We are saved from the wrath of God. That's what's being pictured here. The children of God are redeemed from the wrath of God. So not only is the Lamb a picture of something, the picture of Christ specifically in this passage, but the children of Israel are a picture of something as well. And they're in our natural state in this world, in the state in which we are born, we are born already ruined. We are born because of the sin nature that we have, the stain of original sin upon our soul that was passed down from our parents, the covenant being made with Adam, but not only for himself, all mankind descending from him by natural generation or ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in that first transgression. So that stain of original sin is not only upon our first parents, but it's passed down then so that everyone who is born, as soon as they are born into this world, are born already ruined. with a sin nature and then all of the actual sins that proceed from that nature in this world. So it's a picture of the sinner in their natural state. When the picture here in Exodus 12 is that they're living in Egypt. Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a place that is being pictured here as being under the judgment of God. And the judgment from God has already been dispatched. The judgment is coming upon these people. But we see in this picture given to us here that God intervened. And God intervened with a revelation of redemption, a message of God's plan of salvation for his people. And I would love to pause there just for a second to say once again, and I did this with the congregation this past Lord's Day, because I've been noting this as we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11, that once again we see that faith is not found in a vacuum. Faith is not just some fuzzy feeling. Faith is not some fuzzy thoughts about God. Faith, that is true saving faith, has to be a faith that is able to deliver you from the wrath of God, I should add, is always founded upon God's revelation. And this is what they received, the revelation of God. The instructions in that revelation were crystal clear. Take a lamb, a spotless lamb, slay that lamb, take its blood, and apply the blood to the doorposts of your heart, of the house. The application of it is the doorpost of our heart is where it should be applied. Now, why was it applied there? Well, it was a public testimony of their trust in the revelation and redemption of God. It was pictured there as something that was evident to God. It was evident to their brothers and sisters, the other children of Israel that were there. It was evident to the Egyptians that were living round about them. It was evident to the world that they had taken their place under the blood, that their insignia there was the blood of Christ sprinkled upon the doorposts of their heart and of their house. Anyone taking shelter then in that house came under the blood, and they were saved and safe from certain destruction. Now, as soon as we apply the blood, or as soon as the blood is applied to our heart by faith, we are no longer under condemnation. As soon as they did it in this passage, they were no longer under the condemnation of God. And spiritually speaking, when we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we see ourselves as living in a city of destruction, when we flee unto Christ, when we've been enabled to see Christ in all of his glory and embrace him by faith and have the blood applied to us, applied to our heart by fleeing to Christ and by faith, having that blood applied to us, we are not under any condemnation as well from that moment on. The hymn writer said it this way, no condemnation, now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. There's what the promise is. There's what the hope is for the person coming under the blood of Christ. This was the promise. It said, and the blood shall be unto you a token upon your house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Passover is a very interesting word here, by the way. It means to walk with a limp. It means to be spared from the blows. In this case, the spares from the blows of the steps of God. The idea in this text was this, that God walked with uneven steps that night. That although man in their natural state, all men are under the condemnation of God due to sin, yet as a result of the blood, the fatal blow of God's wrath, here viewed in his steps of God's visitation there in the land of Egypt, are withheld from those who are trusting in the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians, again, 5:7 tells us that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He took the blows. He took the steps of God upon him. He was crushed for our sins. The hymn writer again says, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass. He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass over you. The question really is this today. Are you under the blood? If not, then you are exposed to the wrath of God. Why would you possibly wait another moment? You are living in a city of destruction. Flee the wrath to come. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're under the blood of Christ already, if you have already, by faith, come to Christ and that blood has been applied to your heart, then I would say to you, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But what should we be doing under the blood? Notice what they were doing in this text. They were feasting on the Lamb. That is, they were learning of Christ. They were assimilating Christ into every aspect of their life. And it said that they were prepared. They were ready to go. So they were doing all things with an eye upon eternity. The day of the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. They were redeemed from two other things. The children of God were redeemed from the bondage of sin. Egypt is called the house of bondage. The New Testament says that the believer is bought out of the slave market of sin. It is telling us the story that God has sent one to deliver us. He has sent a Savior and a Redeemer. And Christ said this of himself. He says that I have come to set the captives free. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, Christ has delivered us from this present evil world. And so he has set us free from the slave market of sin. Do you remember that was the statement that was made to Pharaoh? That was the commandment that came from Almighty God. Let my people go. Redemption means this. Redemption is the deliverance of God's elect from a state of sin into a state of salvation by means of the merit of a ransom paid by Christ on their behalf. And so there's a ransom that needs to be paid. And the ransom that was paid for our deliverance is none other than the blood of Christ. And that's very evident from a number of scriptures. Matthew 20 says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And 1 Timothy, a verse that is very familiar to us, in chapter 2 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then it adds in the following verse, in verse 6, who gave himself a ransom. Ransom comes from the Greek word luo. It means to loose, to release, to set free, to release upon the receipt of a ransom. The atoning death of Christ was his atoning blood was the price that was paid for the release of our soul. Isn't that, think about what was, your redemption was so precious to God that the only thing that could be found to pay the price for your redemption was the shed blood of his only begotten Son. You know, and the scripture speaks too about not just the fact that we were delivered, but it speaks about it both in a past, present, and a future sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says this, who hath delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver us, and in whom we trust will yet deliver us. Meaning that we have been delivered from the penalty of sin. We are currently being delivered from the power of sin. And someday, very soon, my friend, my fellow believer, we shall be delivered from the very presence of sin as well in that glorious place with our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The people of God are in full possession of their redemption now. That's true. But the full effects of that purchased possession are awaiting the coming of Christ. And then our vile bodies will be made like under his glorious body. There's one final point here, and I just have time to mention it briefly, but the children of God are redeemed unto the worship and service of Christ. Again, the message to Pharaoh was, let my people go, that they may worship me. It's not just that we are brought out of something, but we are brought unto something. It must be more than just mere nonconformity to one thing, the world, but we must have transformation to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. That's what God is doing in the life of His people. God is doing this. He is producing the likeness of the Lamb in the lives of His people. That's what Christ is doing and God is doing in this work of redemption. So when we use that term, when we say that something is being redeemed, let us keep these thoughts in mind. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org. The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.